ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The 1960s was known for hippies and anti-war protests. The 90s, VCRs, grunge music, plaid flannos. Every decade has a defining legacy, whether it's good or bad or a mixture. We also seem to carry these collective memories that shape how we view the past. And as the 2020s progress, we're already romanticising the 2000s and the 2010s. We're seeing decade-themed parties thrown in those eras' honour. So what will the events and fashions and pop culture moments that define the 2020s be? You're about to hear from a society and culture researcher who has a couple of ideas. With me is Professor Nick Carra, Director of the Centre for Digital Cultures and Societies at the University of Queensland. Nick, tell me about your entry to the 2020s. What do you remember about the beginning of this decade?
It was, like, the thing I always remember about starting the 2020s is being in Sydney, in the middle of Sydney at the end of 2019 at a meeting and, like, looking out the window. And Sydney's kind of usually beautiful. You can see the bridge and the Opera House, but all, like, you couldn't see anything. It was just smoke. Oh, and I remember having this big kind of, like, for the first time really in my life, like a full-on climate sort of freak out of like, what are we doing? Like, you know, and so I remember I went home and that summer I've like got to get solar panels. I'm going to get an e-bike. I'm going to start running to work. Like I'm going to try and
I'm going to fix the climate single-handedly.
Yeah. And then I remember getting my e-bike and then all of a sudden we were like at home and I was meant to be going overseas to Ireland and, you know, the night before, it was like all travel got cancelled and it was like, man, this is really serious. And then I feel like the decade began for real, you know, in March 2020, you know.
It was funny. I was working as a health reporter at that time and at the beginning of 2020, we were doing all these stories on face masks for bushfire smoke.
Right.
Like there was a shortage of N95 masks
Right.
because people were worried about air quality. And then within like 6 weeks, it was like, masks again, but for this novel coronavirus.
And I probably heard about air purifiers over that summer for the first time as well, and then didn't anticipate everyone would want some for a completely different reason.
Yeah, a little hook turn in there for us.
Yeah.
But that was 2020, the year, and I'm thinking about previous decades and like 1980 or 1960, at that time, like by the end of a decade, that mood has shifted a lot. Like, do you think in 2030, the defining moment of the 2020s will be the pandemic?
I think we feel now, like I felt like, you know, 2021, 22, we were still living very much in the present of the pandemic, I feel. And then 23, 24, 25, it does feel like something that happened and has now finished or something. And so, like, I don't think culturally the decade will be defined by the pandemic, but I think in all these subtle ways, in terms of the way the pandemic affected people's life course and livelihoods, it's going to have all of these after effects that we'll begin to notice and we're all maybe already noticing. And but whether we attribute them to the pandemic or remember that the pandemic instigated a lot of this, that's, I don't know, you know, in the 2030s, 2040s, 2050s, will we remember, do you know, all of the, you know, all of the things that happened, how much of them were kind of caused in you know, because of the ripple, if you like, or the after effects of the pandemic.
What kind of things?
Well, I'm thinking of like, you know, we know that the cities that experienced really intense lockdowns, that just had enormous effects on the social lives and well-being, particularly of young people. And that's having all sorts of ramifications, you know, not just for their well-being and their educational outcomes, but for almost like the way they organise their social lives, you know, what they do, you know, do they, how they socialise, how they go out in the city, all of those kinds of things really changed dramatically, you know. Things like music festivals disappeared, you know, to a large degree in that period because a whole generation didn't have that formative rite of passage, you know. So there's all of that. And then I think the pandemic had really significant economic effects that has turned into a kind of cost of living crisis, which is just feels intractable in many people's lives now, you know, like the new normal for many people. And I think that's having really dramatic effects on you know, cost of living affects the way people think about their identities, the way they dress, how they socialise. It affects everything. So it's all those kind of things.
It's funny because even though those things are all kind of part of the soup that we wade through every day,
right.
I hadn't connected them directly to the pandemic. And if that's not happened in this five-year period, then even more in, with the benefit of hindsight, sort of another 10, 20 years in the future.
Right, Right, well, we remember that. It was the pandemic that wasn't the sole cause, maybe, but it was this thing that accelerated a lot of things that were already underlying in our societies, and the things we weren't prepared for or particularly resilient about, do you know what I mean? They became really dramatic effects, and yeah.
What, with looking back on a decade and defining it as a moment in time or an era, what is it that, how do we come to a collective agreement about what the mood of a decade was?
That's a great question. I think that what happens as you go further and further into history is this thing, or I should say further and further into the future, I suppose, is people start to develop nostalgia for particular periods. And it's really the collective process of nostalgia that kind of retrospectively gives a decade its mood, you know? And like, so if you look at like, I don't know, Oasis touring over the last couple of months and people who went to those shows observing like how many kids are at them. And, you know, it's because of a generation growing up playing their kids Oasis records, just like my dad played me like Bob Dylan records, do you know what I mean? And took me to Bob Dylan shows, you know, and produces this sort of mysticism about the 60s and 70s in my childhood, but now a mysticism about the 90s and noughties in many people's childhoods. And that's kind of, you know, I think it's the process of nostalgia that produces that mood as people try to remember and narrate these formative periods of their life.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm chatting with Professor Nick Carra from the Centre for Digital Cultures and Societies at UQ about the 2020s. I know we're only halfway through the decade, but I'm already asking you to tell me what you think the legacy of the 2020s is going to be, in the same way that we think about the 80s and shoulder pads and stock market crashes, or the 70s and, I don't know, wide-legged pants, flares and whatnot. A couple of people have been texting, though. One says, my recollection is post-COVID travel frenzy. All Aussies went to Japan. We were reminded that life could be shorter than we had imagined. Going overseas reminded me how much sky and fresh air and clean water we have and take for granted. I wonder if Japan's memory of the 2020s is just going to be Aussies. Because it definitely feels like everyone I know is there.
And like, Japan's not the only place, because, you know, you're having this protest in, say, Spain every summer now, where people walk around the streets spraying tourists, and you're getting, you know, Japan is an extraordinary, polite, welcoming society, but you're getting real friction there for the first time at foreign travellers in those cities. So I think it's a great observation, actually, that people have started, like, cheap travel just kind of exploded in a wholly new way post the pandemic. And I think a certain kind of group of people in society had saved a lot of money during the pandemic, actually, and they just travelled like crazy and have kept on doing it.
So. That's interesting. So that's sort of like our outward lives, in a sense. And then the other thing that I think we can't talk about this era without talking about is our digital lives and just how quickly they have morphed, and the normal online seems to shift 6 month period to 6 month period. It's only a year or two ago we were all kind of like, this new AI thing seems weird, doesn't it? Now it's our whole lives.
And the two really big changes with digital in this decade, like the first one that kind of feels so ordinary now we forget about it, is like home delivery. Like our phones became really logistical in the early 2020s with the pandemic. And some of us have been doing a bit of like online shopping, but like this rapid online shopping, getting just about anything delivered to your door, you know, particularly in Australia, that really took off in this decade and is a wholly new kind of, economic form, if you like. But then, yeah, the other one is AI, and AI. Now we're halfway through this decade. I think the pandemic might recede in a way because of how I think dramatically different this second half of the decade is going to look culturally. And in some ways, it's a very visually transformative decade where we, you know, at the start of the decade, our visual media cultures were full of images that we took and shared, and they were more or less real. And by the end of this decade, like just about every image we see will be augmented or synthesized or affected somehow by AI models. And that's like a wholly new sort of culture to start living in. And, we're far enough into that to get a sense now of what that's going to look like. Yesterday Macquarie Dictionary said the word of the year is AI slop.
Oh,
and like, you know, but I think it's that sort of tells us, I think, culturally where we're going. And I think, you know, whether this turns out to be a decade in two halves, I don't know. But I think by the end of this decade, that's something dramatic will have happened, and maybe the pandemic will be like, oh yeah, that was not so bad after all.
That is crazy. You know? This idea of like every image you see is going to be fake. It's really bleak.
Well, not like fake, but like very few images we see already are just like a straight up like photograph. Like an AI model has smoothed it out, fixed the color. You know, like so. There's all these subtle ways in which AI is kind of at work in our culture already. But you know, our social media feeds are just full of information now where you can't really distinguish the real from the synthesized anymore. And that's a very different world that we're sort of stepping into.
On the text line, you can text me as well, 0418 226 576. Peter says, I see the 2020s as the decade of waking up to reality and how fragile we are and the world is. Another says, the 2020s extreme events, fires, floods, storms, and with that, a raised community awareness of climate change. It's funny you said you started the 2020s with this sort of climate awakening, and then it kind of was eclipsed for a couple of years by COVID, but is that kind of coming back now, do you think?
I think that it's a great observation, actually, in terms of the mood of the decade. Like, it's a decade that feels characterised by all these intersecting crises, the pandemic, climate, cost of living, you know, this sense that many people have in their lives that their kids won't have, you know, their kids won't be as affluent as they were, which is like, you know, if you think about the story of the 20th century, many of us have to go back several generations to find, you know, when it was last like that our kids were worse off than us. And that's just a sort of mood that hangs over a culture in a way. And I think that is what's going on in the 2020s. And I think, you know, like what's sort of interesting about it is we're very animated by all of these crises. But if you think like back to the 20th century, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, how much our popular culture was animated by dreams of how amazing the future was going to be, whereas all our dreams now are kind of about how catastrophic the future looks. And that's a different kind of, you know, culture that we're finding ourselves living in this decade, I think.
That's interesting. And I was going to ask you about that because I do know that, like, in those decades there were wars, there were missile crises, there's cold wars and that sort of thing. Do you think that we romanticise things in retrospect that maybe felt just as scary as they do now?
Oh, I think, yeah, like I think you often hear, you know, you often hear this kind of, I don't know, I know I've seen memes with like, you know, baby boomer Gen X children, like, yeah, well, you know, you didn't live with the threat of nuclear annihilation, you know. So I think that's right. Like there's a way in which we remember the popular culture mood of a decade maybe and forget the political crises, at least in our sort of, you know, in our imaginations. But I think it's hard to look around this decade and say, look at political leaders or look at forms of mass culture that are really saying to us, like, you know, the 2030s are going to be amazing. Do you know? We're going to live in this, like, completely green, fully renewable AI, fully automated economy, you know. That's not a narrative that many of us feel like we're getting. But it's certainly a narrative that was out there, you know, like, you know, in the 80s with, you know, while there's the threat of the Cold War, there's still the state and the mass culture industry really putting a lot of effort into narrating, yeah, but how technologically advanced and beautiful and wonderful our lives will be in a couple of decades' time. It's hard to look around and find that in this decade, do you know?
So politics, what do you think is going to be the defining political memory of the 2020s?
Well,
in 2 minutes or less, please.
Like, I think this, you know, things started to happen in the mid 2010s that well, you know,
you can say his name.
We had Trump elected. We had Brexit. We had many societies in the world that had this kind of rightward populist shift in the late 2010s. And I think what that felt like in the 2010s was like this kind of crazy shock. And in the 2020s, we're realizing it's actually reflective of really deeper structural cultural things going on in our societies. And that in many ways, the sort of media and technological changes and social changes that happened in the decades before this one, you know, made it very difficult to narrate the shared center of our societies and our social lives to each other. And with that, you get way more polarization, way less kind of encounters between people who are different from one another, all of those sorts of things. And so I think the legacy of the 2020s will be that crisis, but hopefully also what comes next, do you know? What kind of coalitions start to emerge that begin to make sense to us in new sorts of ways. I feel like we're in the messy part politically still. I'm waiting for the new thing to emerge.
There's some really interesting perspectives on the text line. Kate says the 2020s are working from home now embraced everywhere, back to basics, gardening, home cooking, fermenting, online entertainment, cooking class and music, which is a nice way of looking back. And I do wonder, Nick, if given we do seem to look back on decades with nostalgia, to close, like, what do you think is the silver lining of the pandemic we'll look back on with a bit of nostalgia? Not the pandemic, the 2020s.
I think that's totally right. Like, I think people will have this sort of, some people will have nostalgia for this, what you might call the cottage core thread of the 2020s. You know, as you said, like, many of us started to have this kind of coziness at home and love being at home and feel like we could stay at home and enjoy us, you know, and curate beautiful spaces. I think that'll be some people's thread of the pandemic. And I think others will be this kind of much more hyper digital, neon, synthetic kind of sense of the 2020s. You know, they'll be more thinking like Charlie XCX, you know, that was the vibe of the 2020s.
Bright green is the 2020s.
Bright green, grotty AI mayhem, do you know? And I think it's an interesting decade because it's a, you know, unlike the 60s, 70s, 80s, we don't have a mass culture anymore. Digital cultures are super fragmented and I think people are going to have super different nostalgic memories of what the 2020s looked and felt like.
We'll have to get you back in 10 years' time to see if any of your predictions
play some of this back and I'll just be hiding under the desk.
Nick, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Professor Nick Carra is Director of the Centre for Digital Cultures and Societies at the University of Queensland.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.